You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There's a lot of talk about mental health, but less research into the effects of the workplace on your mental health. Massey University's Healthy Work Group released a study this week looking into workplace well-being through what they call a workplace barometer to analyse the psychosocial safety climate of participating organisations. Our regular reporter Deb spoke to Associate Head of the School of Management at Massey University and co-author of the study, Bevan Catley, about what a psychosocial safety climate is and how well we're doing dealing with mental health in the workplace. Catley started by explaining what the study examined.
The aim of the barometer was to essentially try to understand the causes of psychosocial risk. And so those are the factors that cause, in particular, negative outcomes in the workplace. So psychosocial risks are the risks that actually come from the way work is organised, managed and led. Okay, so that can be both a positive and it can also be a negative. And what we were interested in were the risk to physical and mental wellbeing.
And when you talk about psychosocial risks, what would be some practical examples of these in a workplace?
Potential psychosocial hazards come, as I say, from the work itself. So that might be things like, you know, a lack of task variety, having too much work to do or not enough work to do, having meaningless jobs to do, shift work, night work can be a potential hazard, having a poor physical environment, no autonomy in your job, poor leader, poor management, being socially isolated, feeling insecure about your job. Actually quite a big long list.
Yeah.
And the point is that in and of them, you know, it's the lack of attention to the design and the management of those things that turn those risks into hazards.
What did the report find? So how is the psychosocial safety climate in New Zealand?
So what we found was where organisations were doing a really good job of being committed to and prioritising worker wellbeing, the employees then were reporting much lower levels of negative outcomes. So, for example, reporting less depression, less bullying, less psychological distress, less job stress, that kind of stuff. So what we found was a really good association between organisations that did a good job in promoting mental and physical well-being and having less negative outcomes, but also importantly also having more positive outcomes. So we were also seeing that those employees were also reporting that they felt more engaged, they felt more included in their workplace, and that's clearly likely to have a positive impact on productivity.
Yeah, because I was sort of surprised to see from the report that over a quarter of employees feel depressed much of the time. So did the report's findings match your expectations of workplace wellbeing in New Zealand?
Yeah, well, that's one of the, because there isn't a lot of data in this area, we weren't entirely sure what we would find. And, you know, that's clearly a worry that we're picking up that kind of indication of people, you know, feeling basically in distress in their workplace. And what this also shows is that, you know, how key the workplace is in terms of shaping not only our physical well-being but also our mental well-being. And that just, I think, justifies further, you know, why institutions like the World Health Organization, you know, see the workplace as a primary area for promoting mental well-being.
What do you think workplace culture is like in New Zealand in comparison to worldwide? So I know we have bad mental health statistics generally, but I always saw our workplace culture as more laid back. But do you think this stereotype is false?
Gee, it varies so much from organisation to organisation. It would be a bit tough to say. But clearly there are a number of organisations out there who are doing a really good job of being, you know, world-class performers and being, you know, world-class in looking after their employees' well-being. Equally, there are some organisations out there who would appear to be finding this a challenge. So, you know, it really does depend. What I think this comes down to, again, though, is the organisations that are prioritising well-being and doing a good job in understanding the way the work environment operates and trying to improve their work environment also benefits.
Because this poses a real cost to businesses, right? The mental health of their employees.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the direct costs of people not being at work and not being able to perform. and, you know, and also a series of indirect costs which are going to be less harder to put a dollar value on. And also too, if an organisation gets a reputation basically for being pretty blasé about worker well-being, that's going to pose challenges for them in terms of recruitment. You know, if you're in a competitive industry and you're trying to recruit best people, small place like New Zealand, why would someone want to come and work for you if your reputation is that you don't really prioritise well-being?
And do you think workplaces are generally aware of the importance of mental health and of their reputation in regards to this?
Yeah, I think that would be one of the questions that we'd really like to explore a bit further. I think the ground is shifting in that direction, you know, and there's some really great people in our community doing some fantastic work about promoting conversations around our mental well-being. I'm still not entirely sure we're really comfortable talking about our mental well-being in the workplace situation to the same extent that we are maybe talking about our physical well-being. And I think there's definitely some work to be done there. And this is, again, where management competencies become really important regard, because managers build trust with their employees and build a positive workplace environment, then an employer is more likely to want to feeling confident to be able to have this kind of very difficult and personal conversation with them. Otherwise, if they don't, they're either going to just try and tough it out or, you know, going to be taking time off. So, yeah, I think there's some interesting things to be done in this area, because one of the things that did surprise us was that while lots of people seem to be reporting lots of, you know, negative outcomes, this didn't simply translate into lots of people taking lots of days off. So there is an interesting perhaps question there around, well, what does this say about our expectation around having to be at work? So are you expected to tough it out, right? It doesn't matter how you're feeling.
Yeah, sort of a lack of acknowledgement of mental health issues.
Yeah. And that you've got to guts it out. And this thing puts an interesting take on then, well, what does presenteeism mean in New Zealand? You know, often we've heard about presenteeism as people slacking off and, you know, looking at social media. But perhaps there's also a good chunk of people who feel that they need to come to work, but really just, you know,
and not in the right headspace.
Yeah. So, what does it say about the way we think of and conceive of sick leave in our workplace? Is our sick leave geared up around physical well-being? How does it deal with mental well-being? And what are the transitions that are put in place if someone is coming back? You know, many organisations have good transition coming back into the workplace from a physical injury or physical illness that translate into someone who's coming back, you know, where they've had challenges around their mental well-being.
Are these sort of some of the main purposes of this study, or what are you hoping the study will do? Will it influence businesses to enact change in the future?
Yeah, so that would be ideal. So the big idea, if you like, is to develop a longitudinal national database that will inform evidence-based decision-making. So the idea would be that we can present over time evidence of the well-being of the New Zealand workforce, driven by and around psychosocial risk.
You sort of touched on this earlier, but how can workplaces improve their environments for workers?
So one of the things that we're keen on is this idea of psychosocial safety climate, and essentially what that is the extent to which employees perceive that senior managers prioritise workplace worker wellbeing. So initiatives then that senior managers can do to prioritise and improve wellbeing, and that would include normalising and making it okay to have conversations about mental wellbeing at work, any tangible commitment to improving the work environment, and what I mean by that is initiatives that improve the work environment, not the worker. So it's about making sure that you address, you know, the causes, not the symptoms. Other things would be any initiative to promote inclusion and engagement. Inclusion and engagement is then a real positive for not only combating the negative but also leading to those positive gains we were talking about earlier. One of the things we're coming back to time and time again is the value in developing really strong, capable managers who are well-versed technically in the technical arts of their industry.
Do you think that our culture is sort of gradually changing towards more acknowledgement of mental health issues? And do you think this will improve the situation, or do you think that change is really required at a legislative level?
Look, I hope so. Changes in the regulatory environment will, potentially be beneficial. What you actually need to see is changes in practice at the organisational level. What I think hopefully will arrive at the conclusion is that we, as a nation, seem to spend lots and lots and lots of time at work. And as we know, that appears to be not necessarily translating into increases in productivity. There are only so many hours we can keep working. And if we're not seeing the increases in productivity, then perhaps we need to be thinking about other ways.
Yeah.
And we would suggest that one of the ways that we can see those productivity and gains would be through the promotion of well-being.
Do you have any other comments or thoughts you'd like to add before we wrap up?
So the only other thing I think that also we got out of this study was that, you know, little things matter in terms of workplace issues, and that issues affect people differently and at different times in our life. So little things matter, and little things can accumulate into.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.